The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness. A cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yeshua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me. Today I'm going to talk about the essence of my message regarding the commandments. An overview. There's a lot of confusion regarding sin and the commandments, including a lot of debate in the USA at present, which is relevant to this discussion. I'll start by discussing the correct interpretation of the commandments, starting with the Great Commandment. We'll then work through the Ten Commandments, starting with number one being Yah is one, do not worship others. Then two, do not worship idols. Three, do not take the name of Yah in vain. We will then look at four, keep the Sabbath. Five, honor your parents. Six, no murder. Then seven, no adultery. Eight, no stealing. Nine, no false witness or lying. And ten, no coveting or lusting. I will then stress that sin is breaking any of those commandments and carries a death penalty, that the price for unrepented sin is torment in hell. I will then suggest that abortion is the commandment that is being overthrown most violently, and note that there is sin for those who legislate violation of the commandments. I'll speak about legislating against the death penalty for murder, and discuss taking the covenant meal while actively violating a commandment. Various other points will be discussed. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a management consultant. I have over 30 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of about 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator. It forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email, articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down. For previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. There are about 4 podcast websites with back issues. So today we're going to consider the article 2021-0605, The Essence of My Message Regarding the Commandments. There's a lot of confusion regarding sin and the commandments, including a lot of debate in the USA at present, which is relevant to this discussion. The commandments are discussed in some detail on the website, but I want to summarize them now and highlight some little understood ramifications associated with breaking them, including the essential definition of sin. It is important to understand that the satanic and demonic realm have corrupted things to such an extent that most believers are breaking most of the commandments. It is also important to recognize that in the extreme case, breaking any one of the commandments carries a death penalty. Torment in hell, if unrepented, is axiomatic for every believer who at some level believes in the reality of the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth, whose true name is Yah, the eternally self-existing, if they break the commandments and do not repent before they die. So let's look at correct interpretation of the commandments, going as follows. The great commandment, love Yah with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, which embraces and overarches everything else. The great commandment is love Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. If you're not doing this, you're not really on the playing field. Note that if you do not believe the Almighty Creator exists, then you're an unbeliever and nothing in this article applies to you. You're a servant of Satan, and the agenda of Satan is to break all of the commandments. As an unbeliever, you will not be judged. You will not face hell. You will simply die, and your spirit will continue to exist alongside your corpse for a long time, which frankly is a horrible way to spend eternity. This is discussed in more detail elsewhere on the website. See the web page, Where Are You Going, towards the bottom of the menu. The Ten Commandments given on the mountain in Sinai are the essence of loving Yah and complying with his commandments, and we'll discuss those now. One of the things that Yeshua, who you may know as Jesus, said was that this commandment summarized everything in the law and the prophets, the anointed writings. So let's talk about that a bit more. So commandment number one, Yah is one, do not worship others. The first of the Ten Commandments is Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, is one mighty one. You shall have no other mighty ones apart from him. So what that means is you're not to worship Jesus or Yeshua or the Messiah or Muhammad or the emperor or the queen or the president or whatever other person. Note that Yeshua, inaccurately Jesus, is a mighty one, also known as a god. He is not the almighty creator of the heavens and earth. He is not the mighty one. There's much further discussion on the website. See under the commandments page, Chesed, love the almighty, Yah is one. Also the web page, the essence of message, read Yeshua Jesus, and also the web page, Yeshua. That's Y-A-H-O-O-S-H-U-A is the correct name for Yeshua. And what is absolutely vital to realize is there is Yah, the eternally self-existing, the universally existing creator. And then there's a human being called Yeshua, incorrectly Jesus, who has represented the almighty creator in a spectacular way, but he is distinct. If you understand mighty one, not God, then Yah is the almighty, or the almighty mighty one, if you want to be absolutely precise about it. Yeshua is also a mighty one. He is very powerful, but he is not the almighty mighty one. He is distinctly separate to Yah, the creator. It is sin to worship Yeshua. It is sin to worship Jesus. And the same goes for anybody else that you might worship. Secondly, do not worship idols. This relates to not worshiping the Bible. The Bible is not the word of God. Not worshiping the Quran, etc. It includes not worshiping your wife or your husband or your car or your house or your business, etc. We're commanded to only worship the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. This also excludes worshiping the cross, wearing crucifixes, adorning buildings with crucifixes or crosses, etc. See the webpage, Commandments, Chesed, love the Almighty, no idols. Folks, this is really so important. If you say the Bible is the word of God and you have to go to Bible school and Bible study and Bible this and Bible that, and you spend an hour or two every day reading your Bible, and you're not spending at least as much time worshiping Yah, talking to Father, you're missing the boat, I'm sorry to say. You're worshiping your Bible. You're making an idol out of it. The Bible is a very important history book. It does contain some limited pieces of inspiration, but virtually all the Bible is just a record of what inspired, anointed people did and were recorded by other human beings. I'm in the process of producing a version of the Bible with a whole lot of doctrinal errors and translation errors corrected, and that is partly available on the website as we speak. See the ETI Bible version. But making an idol of the Bible, worshipping the Bible, it's sin. Yah says the Bible is the greatest idol on earth today. Then number three, do not take the name of Yah in vain. The true name of the Almighty Creator is Yah, the eternally self-existing, or strictly speaking, Yah. Calling him the Lord, as in the most English Old Testaments, or God, or similar, is taking his name in vain. www.yahoo.com is a blasphemous name, and that results in Yah's name being taken in vain. If you have a Yahoo email address, you are breaking that commandment. Get rid of it. Calling Yahushua Jesus is not taking Yah's name in vain, is also taking Yah's name in vain. The Afrikaans word for yes, Yah, and the German Jawohl, and similar words break this commandment. See the webpage, Commandments, Chesed, love the Almighty, name Yah not in vain. And to understand more about the name of Yah, see Yah 7,000 times in the Bible, why not used, and Creator's name Yah, the eternally self-existing. Folks, this is so important. The Jews, while they know the correct name, they virtually never use it for fear of taking his name in vain. And then they call him the Lord, or they call him G_D, or Hashem, or whatever. That's insulting. It's taking his name in vain. So by the very act of trying to keep the commandment, they break the commandment. And what I hope you notice is from the first three commandments that I've just talked through. Certainly pretty much all Christians are breaking them. And a lot of other people are breaking at least some of them. If you are killing people because they desecrated the Quran, I'm sorry, you're breaking the second commandment. You're making the book. You're putting it on a level that is inappropriate. Then keep the Sabbath. This relates to keeping the true Sabbath. That is the last day of the week, that is Saturday, from sunrise Saturday to sunrise Sunday. Observing Sunday as a Sabbath and working on Saturday is breaking this commandment. Observing sunset Friday to sunset Saturday and working Saturday night is breaking this commandment. Failing to observe the high Sabbaths of Pesach, Passover, Shavuot, Pentecost, Yom Teruah, the Day of Trumpets, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the first day of the Feast of Sukkot, the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, and the last or great day of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, also breaks this commandment. See the webpage, Commandments, Chesed, Love the Almighty, Keep Sabbaths. There's a whole body of opinion which says that when Yeshua, Jesus, died, the Sabbath was changed from Saturday to Sunday because that's when Yeshua came out of the tomb. Folks, it's not true. The Ten Commandments were written by the finger of Yah in stone and given to Moshe, Moses. That means none of the Ten Commandments will ever change. Yeshua said, not one jot or tittle, the smallest Hebrew markings of the Ten Commandments would pass away, that heaven and earth would pass away, but that not one of the Ten Commandments would pass away. So if you're not worshipping only Yah, if you are worshipping your Bible or your Quran or whatever, if you are saying Yah instead of yes and have a yahoo.com email address, you're in serious trouble, I'm sorry to say. And a lot of believers are breaking all three of those commandments. Then honor your parents. This means that you respect your parents and treat them with respect and nurture and care for them in their old age. In particular, this means that you do not deposit them in an old age home or frail care center or similar, but you keep them in the bosom of your family and care for them in whatever way is required, and constantly show them love and respect. Note that if you curse your mother or your father or speak ill of them, you will bring a death penalty on yourself. See the webpage, Commandments, Chesed, Love Your Neighbor, Honor Parents. Folks, it's almost universally accepted practice in Western countries. Certainly in Britain and the United States, that elderly parents are put in a frail care center. The rationale behind that is that they can receive the medical care that they need, etc., etc. It's not honoring them, folks. You're breaking this commandment. You need to look after them and nurture them, not go and visit them for half an hour once a week on Saturday or whatever, and maybe drop in once or twice in the week for a half an hour or so. Guilty. My parents died many years ago, but I was doing what I've just said was wrong. And he realized it when it was too late for me to do anything about it. But I really encourage you, your planning, your financial planning needs to provide for looking after your elderly parents. Then no murder. This is particularly contentious and difficult. Life begins in the sight of the Creator at the instant of fertilization. At that moment, a spirit is allocated and a human being comes into existence. So any contraceptive that prevents the embryo being implanted or which causes the embryo to be rejected by the womb is murder. The person who installed the intrauterine device is complicit in the murder, just as the person who designed it, the person who sold it, the person who manufactured it, etc. The man who had sex with the woman with the intrauterine device is equally complicit with the woman. Abortion is clear-cut murder, and as above, the people who legislated it, the people who deliver the service, including those in administration and support services, as well as those who actually perform the abortion, and those who benefit from the exploitation of the remains of the aborted child, are all judged as violating this commandment, which carries a death penalty and carries a death sentence and torment in hell for believers. See the webpage Commandments Chesed, Love Your Neighbor, No Murder. If you are not particularly inclined and the above does not impact you much, I suggest that you visit, in other words, if you're not sort of convinced and based on what I said that you should oppose abortion, go and visit priestsforlife.org, images, abortion, images, galleries.aspx, and search on or search on Google for graphic pictures of aborted children or similar. The images of shredded live human beings are truly shocking. So, folks, if you are a believer and you're supporting abortion or abortive contraceptives, you need to deal with that now. You're in serious trouble. And when I say you're in serious trouble, I'm talking about serious trouble with the Almighty Creator. At the very least, when you die, you're going to end up in hell for a while. And that's really unpleasant stuff. Look at the page on hell on the website. And you're quite likely to be judged in this life. So you don't want to go there. And if you've gone there, you need to repent, turn around, and stop going there. Then commandment number 7, no adultery. Adultery is sexual intercourse between males, either directly or by two men having intercourse with the same woman, whether concurrently or sequentially. So the usual social behavior in most societies where men and women have sexual intercourse, terminate their relations, and move on to new partners is adultery. Legal marriage where the woman has had a previous sexual partner is also adultery. Sex with a woman who gave her virginity to another man is adultery, unless there were legitimate grounds for divorce and the appropriate prayers have been prayed. Sexual intercourse with a virgin is the act of marriage, as is sexual intercourse with a widow or truly divorced woman. See the website Commandments, webpage Commandments Chesed, Love Your Neighbor, No Adultery. So, see also the webpage Men and Women and Family, Separation of Man and Woman, Recutting Ties in a Valid Manner, and also the webpage Virgin's Covenant Lost regarding the Sanctity of Virginity. Folks, this is all heavy stuff, but frankly, there's no point in getting upset with homosexual males if you are having sex with a woman who's not your wife, even though you're legally married to her. It's a complex situation, a lot of people breaking that one. Then no stealing, commandment number 8. Direct theft, any form of fraud, fraudulent or misleading advertising, sales misrepresentation. Pastors, priests, rabbis, imams, etc. are teaching lies and pressing their followers to give to them on the pretext they're preaching truth, etc. People who repent of stealing but do not make restitution or return what they've stolen, etc. See the webpage Commandments Chesed, Love Your Neighbor, No Stealing. Folks, this is really important. Inherent in the concept of giving offerings and tithes to the church or the mosque or the synagogue or whatever you call them, but actually giving money, food, whatever, to the leader of a religious assembly, and they are teaching lies, they are stealing. It's fraudulent. The inherent understanding of somebody who goes to a mosque or a synagogue or a temple or a church or whatever is that they're going there because they're going for truth. They're seeking truth. They're trusting that that pastor or priest or rabbi or imam, whatever, is giving them truth. And in response to that, they give money or food or whatever they give or pay the rent or whatever, but they give. They yoke themselves to that ministry. And the person who's doing that is stealing. If they're not preaching absolute accurately what is the truth. And virtually nobody's doing that. Just about all of them are preaching lies at some level. Then no false witness or lying includes false teachings by religious leaders. Applies to just about every religious leader on the planet. Lies by politicians, misrepresentation in sales and advertising, etc. It's important to realize that the end judgment for lying is also a death penalty. See again the commandments, chesed, love your neighbor, no false witness or lying. And then no coveting or lusting, which includes coveting or lusting after men or women or cars or houses or businesses, etc. Coveting is an intense desire for something burning with lust. See the webpage, commandments, chesed, love your neighbor, no coveting or lusting. So to go back to the lying thought, if you're teaching people that the name of the man from Nazareth is Jesus, you're a liar. If you're teaching people that he's God, you're a liar. If you're teaching people that the Bible is the word of God, you're a liar, and so on, and so on, and so on. And if you're intensely desiring anything or anyone, you're breaking the commandment of coveting. So if you do whatever, I think you know what I'm talking about. The lying one is very pervasive. People tell lies when they joke. People twist things just supposedly as a sense of humor. People think nothing of lying about anything. It's a huge, huge issue. A lot of people going to end up in hell. A lot of believers going to end up in hell unless they clean up their acts on a serious basis. The lying one is possibly the most difficult commandment to keep on a consistent basis. Right. So where are we going with this? I want to suggest to you that sin is breaking any one or all of those 10 commandments plus the great commandment, and they all carry a death penalty ultimately in the court of heaven, which translates into a period in hell if you die without repenting. The fundamental definition of sin is breaking one or more of the above commandments, and ultimately this results in a death penalty, which will result in premature death for a believer who fails to confess, repent, and turn around. It's important to understand that if a committed believer dies prematurely, and by prematurely I mean younger than 70, maybe younger than 80 years old, it is because of sin in their lives. If somebody gets cancer and dies a terrible death at the age of 50 and they're a believer, Father is punishing them in this life so that they don't have to go and spend as much time in hell when they die. So it's important to recognize if you, a believer and you get grievously ill, if you're a believer and you get grievously ill, there's sin in your life. It's as brutal as that. You're not going to get seriously ill if you're free of sin and you're walking in emunah faith. Then the price for unrepented sin is torment in hell. For believers after death, breaking the commandments and failing to repent and turn around before death will result in torment in hell after death before entering heaven. See the webpage hell on the website and believers in hell on the website. Folks, can't stress it enough. If you don't repent, you're going to pay the price in hell. Then point number four, abortion. This is the commandment that is being overthrown most violently, particularly in the United States at the moment. The most flagrant violation of the commandments in many societies is abortion, both through the use of abortive contraceptives, such as intrauterine devices, abortive medication, and outright surgical abortion, coupled with legislation that permits this form of murder and effectively encourages it. I am regularly shocked to read about what people who are pro-abortion, who are in favor of abortion, have to say about women's rights, etc. There appears to be, in a large portion of the community, and I say this particularly with regard to the United States, but it's not just in the United States, there's this flagrant disregard for the sanctity of the life of a fetus, of an unborn child. And then they go and they put devices into the womb and just mince up a live child to get it out of the womb. If you are vaguely neutral or pro-abortion, go onto the internet and search for what happens to these children. And with that, what you find is that the people who are in the abortion industry, many of them are witches, warlocks, Satanists, because they eat the flesh and drink the blood of the aborted children because it gives them spiritual power. Folks, abortion is a horrible thing. Then five, the sin of those who legislate violation of the commandments. An extension of the previous point is that those who legislate to permit abortion are partakers in the sin. The blood is on their hands. This applies equally to those who have legislated that the Sabbath is Sunday and not Saturday, and to any other law or policy that permits or enforces breaking of any of the above commandments. Where these people are believers, they also bring a death penalty on themselves, and they will be tormented in hell after death before entering heaven. When I say death penalty, I'm referring to premature death, debilitating illness, accidents, etc., that terminate life before their appointed term, which I understand to be 80 or above. As I said just now, if you're a believer and you just die, certainly before the age of 70, probably before the age of 80, it's because there's something seriously wrong in your life and you're not getting it and you're not repenting, and Father wants to give you a chance to pay the price for your sin in this life so that you don't spend as much time in hell when you die. But you need to understand, if you pass legislation that breaks any of the commandments, and the two that stand out for me right now is legislation with regard to abortion and legislation with regard to the Sabbath being Sunday, not Saturday. So those in the Roman Catholic Church who persist in their error that the Sabbath is Sunday, those that subscribe to it, you've got a problem. And particularly those who have the wherewithal to understand that. But the thing to remember now, folks, is pretty much all people on the planet who have an internet access and some sort of device, phone or computer, that they can go on Google, can find out that the Sabbath is truly on Saturday. Then legislating against the death penalty for murder. This is a little bit of a different one. Note that Genesis 9:6 states, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of Yah made he man." Legislating against the death penalty for murder or opposing the death penalty for murder breaks this commandment and also be associated with the death penalty and torment in hell. So if you're one of those who argues against the death penalty, you need to understand that you are going to come before the throne of judgment. I'm talking to believers, as I said at the outset. Folks, this stuff doesn't apply if you're an unbeliever. One of the big sources of confusion today is that not so long ago, we had a very high level of believers in many Western, at any rate, society, communities. And that's dropped right down. So we have a whole lot of unbelievers who grew up in believing households who think that what their parents did and said and prayed, etc., applies to them, and it doesn't. Father is in this age totally indifferent to unbelievers. So if you're an unbeliever, Father really doesn't give a hoot what you do or what happens to you. This is about what you do as a believer. And if you're a believer and you've been lobbying to do away with the death penalty, if you've been voting for a person on the basis that they will vote against the death penalty, if you are a legislator who voted against the death penalty, you are breaking the commandment about murder. Then taking the covenant meal while actively violating a commandment. The covenant meal is also known as communion or the Eucharist. It's a rehearsal of the terms of Yeshua's covenant, in terms of which, by repenting of sin, a believer can correct for sins they've committed. Hebrews 6:6 states, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of Yah afresh and put him to an open shame. In other words, if a person takes the covenant meal while knowingly and actively breaking one or more of the commandments, they will ultimately be rejected from entering heaven and will face torment in hell. This is particularly relevant to legislators, politicians, and others who actively promote abortion or abolition of the death penalty for murder and so forth. There's a situation in the United States where a certain high-ranking person has been pro-abortion and then going to church and taking communion. And there's been a debate as to whether he should be allowed to or not. And some religious leaders have agreed to give him communion or Eucharist, and he's taken it. I'm talking to you, folks. You've got a problem. You are a proxy for breaking that commandment, and you will be punished either in this life or in the life to come, just as that very senior official will be punished either in this life or the life to come. It's really important to clean up your act before you take the covenant meal, the communion or the Eucharist or whatever you want to call it. If you go and take of that bread and the wine and you know you've got sin in your life, you are playing a dangerous game. Then administering the covenant meal to one who is knowingly and actively violating a commandment, an extension of the previous point. If a pastor, priest, or other person who administers the covenant meal or communion or Holy Eucharist administers it to someone while knowing that the person concerned is violating one or more of the commandments, and the blood of that person will also be on the hands of the person ministering the sacrament. They will also face torment in hell and may ultimately be rejected from entering heaven. So there was a whole debate in this situation a few months ago where leaders in the church concerned were saying, no, this man shouldn't be allowed to take the Eucharist. And others were saying, no, he should be allowed to take the Eucharist. But in the end, somebody caved and gave him the Eucharist. Communion, covenant meal, whatever you want to call it. But he gave them the bread and wine without repentance, without confessing sin. Folks, it's a serious, serious thing. If you are administering the covenant meal to somebody while you know that they are in sin, you are sinning. And you need to be so careful about this. If you are somebody in a position who administers the covenant meal, you need to make sure that the people that you're administering it to are in right standing with Father, that they've dealt with their sin. And praying some sort of generic corporate prayer before you administer it isn't going to cut it. If you know that a certain person is breaking a commandment, and you then allow that person, male or female, to take the Eucharist or communion or covenant meal, you are in serious trouble with the Almighty. Then the mark of the beast. There's a lot of hysteria and hype about microchips being the mark of the beast. This is false. The mark of the beast is in the right hand and in the forehead. So it is our thoughts and what we write and covenant shake hands on. The mark has to be available to every single human being on the planet simultaneously. And it has to be a spiritual mark, the absence of which prevents a human being from buying or selling. The Almighty Creator says that the mark of the beast is violating one or more of the Ten Commandments, which applies to just about every human being on the planet today. If someone is truly living above sin and is truly keeping all the commandments set out above scrupulously, then they are without the mark, and the satanic and demonic realm will then do everything possible to prevent them from buying or selling. This nets down to preventing them selling because they cannot sell. If they cannot sell, they will not have money to buy. To counter this, it is vital for the family unit to be in perfect harmony and alignment, in which case they will prosper. See the webpage Anointed Life, Part 5, Man and Woman in Harmony, and there are other pages on prosperity, etc. on the website. For more on the Mark of the Beast, see on the webpage, the webpage Commandments, the Mark of the Beast, and there's other pages which discuss this. Folks, this is so much confusion. I mean, ever since I really made a commitment to Father for at least the last 25 years, I've been getting periodic emails with people hysterically going on about the microchip. And basically, first of all, the microchip isn't a big issue because they've seemed to have given up implementing it. But secondly, it's a smokescreen. It's getting you to worry about something material when there's something spiritual that you should be concerned about. So to live above sin, keep the commandments, or conversely, if you keep all the commandments, you will be living above sin. I'd like to suggest for your consideration that it is not that difficult to keep all of 11 of those commandments. That is what is meant by living above sin. I encourage you to seek to do this, assuming your relationship with the Almighty Creator is important to you. Note that it is written in 1 John 5, verse 3, "For this is the love of Yah, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." If you truly love the Almighty Creator, then I challenge you to actively start keeping all the above commandments, noting that getting free of lies is a time-consuming process. And bearing in mind that true repentance means that you go and make right. So you go and say, "Well, actually, I lied to you about this. I'm terribly sorry. I repent. I ask you to forgive me." You can't just keep quiet about it. Then taking the covenant meal and repentance. If in reading or listening to the above, you've realized that you've broken one or more of the above commandments, the resolution of the situation is quite straightforward. At the first possible opportunity, obtain some red grape juice, preferably not carbonated. You can use red wine as an alternative, but I recommend grape juice. Also obtain some bread, preferably unleavened. Some shops sell Jewish matzos, or you may be able to order this on Amazon, or a plain wheat biscuit, or failing that, ordinary leavened bread. The balance and the prayers and everything for this are on the website. The balance of this article is on the website under Essence of the Message regarding commandments. There's about another page or so that I don't have time to discuss with you now. I encourage you to go and read that. So I want to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Recently, I spoke at length about the evidence of creation, the evidence of the Creator. And if you missed those messages, I encourage you to go onto one of the websites where you can find the back issues and listen to those two broadcasts on the essence of my message regarding creation. The fundamental point is we have this massively huge, massively complex universe with this massively complex galaxy, with this massively complex solar system, with this massively complex planet Earth, with these massively complex plants, with these massively complex animals, with these massively complex human beings. And it can only have come to pass through the working of the Creator. Why did He do all that? For one reason only, so that you could become His friend. If you're not His friend, you are missing the whole point of being alive. So key documents in a video on the website, video Why Seek Relationship, The Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, Seven Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship. The Creator's name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existence. Existing. The essence of my message to Christians, also likewise for Jews, Muslims, and other faiths and unbelievers. All available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. You'll find at least four podcast websites with back issues. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 till May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the Compilation of Most Writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the mailing list, or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. There are about 2,500 articles in the article database. There are about 1,250 web pages. Huge amount of information, answers to a lot of your questions, a lot of material to help you get close to Father. I encourage you to go for it. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, Teams, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week, when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make His enemies His footstool. Folks, it doesn't matter whether you are short or tall, thin or fat, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're educated or uneducated. It doesn't matter whether you're from Africa, from Asia, from Europe, from the Americas. It doesn't matter whether you're Jewish or Muslim or Baha'i or Hindu or Christian or Buddhist, or whatever. It doesn't even matter if you're a Satanist or a witch or a warlock. It doesn't matter whether you've got blonde hair and blue eyes, or black hair and brown eyes, or anything in between. Father wants you to become His friend, not the person to the left or the right or in front or behind or whatever. He wants you to become His friend. That's the only reason you exist, is to be His friend. If you don't become His friend before the end of your life, you're going to get to the judgment seat if you're a believer. And you are going to realize you missed the boat. You might make it into heaven, but you won't be on the highest thrones. And the highest thrones are available to friends. So I suggest you go for it. Thank you so much. Good night. Bye.